You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. I am still in Gdańsk, Poland. It is still awesome here, and I'll share some of what I've learned. So this place has been around. There are recorded records going back to 997, 3 years before the year 1000. And the amount of blood that has flowed through the waterways here is astounding. So back in 997, there was a Catholic bishop that came here from Prague. Bishop Adalbert was his name, and he was killed, martyred, actually. There's a really cool celebration going on right now here called Saint Dominic, and it is so cool. There are booths set up all throughout the old town. There's great food, beer stands, tons of kids in the parks, pristine porta potties, and absolutely no riffraff anywhere. In fact, last week here, they had a big anti-immigration rally in this here little slice of heaven. So they're very anti-illegal immigration. But of course, I have found in a whole lot of places around the world that the same here as almost everywhere, that's awesome. The Poles I meet, these Polish folks, they don't know how good they have it. And I'll give you an example. I was buying a beer at this festival at one of these booths, and the guy asked where I was from. And I told him, USA. And something else common around the world is I'm never asked what it's like to live in the US, because I believe it's because they believe they act like they already know everything there is to know about America because of what they see in movies and pop culture. You usually hear American music more than whatever the local language is wherever you go now. I've posted videos in my stories on the socials of the festival, so follow me if you want to see. So I tell this guy at the booth, the beer booth, that I'm from the U.S., and he says to me, oh, so this beer for you is nothing. And he wasn't a prick about it, just more of a statement of fact from his perspective. And when I asked him to explain, he said, well, this for Polish people, they don't buy beers here so much because the price is so high. And I said, that might be true, but you guys don't know how great you have it here. I said, I promise you, many of my American friends, if given the opportunity, would rather live here. And that after experiencing Gdańsk, they'd never want to leave, as it'll be hard for me to leave this place. And I told him, maybe the only reason to live in America, aside from being close to your friends and family, is money. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of guys who would trade all that money that you can make in the States to live middle class here in Gdańsk. And I think it'd be a pretty solid trade-off. Another thing I'm never asked is, what do you do? I don't know if Americans realize how American that question is. What do you do? So the beer, if you're curious, was 17 zloty. Zloty is their currency. And it's about 4 to 1 the U.S. dollar. So this lager, it was on draft, it was about $4. I believe the same beer at a festival in the U.S. probably would have been $9, maybe more, maybe $10.25. But the city, Gdańsk, it used to be called Danzig. Then after World War II, it switched from German hands to Polish. You know, this is actually where the Second World War started. And then half a century later, it was the first domino to fall, leading to the Soviet Union's collapse. I don't know that there's not any place in Central or Eastern Europe that so embodies the upheavals of the 20th century. There is so much history here, and a lot of it took me by surprise. I didn't know. They call it the Venice of the North. I didn't know that. And it does remind me of Amsterdam, with all the waterways and the five-story buildings that are connected together. They say in the morning sunlight, after a stormy night, you can see amber flashing all along the Gulf of Gdańsk. And it is said that this amber is what Gdańsk owes its fame and wealth to. So the city, Gdańsk, it's a stronghold of amber workmanship, which is said to promote a sunny, carefree life. Baltic gold, they call it. Ancient Rome had a huge demand for this amber. Amber Road, they called it, connected to the Baltic Sea with the Mediterranean centers of civilization. And that was between 1st and 4th century BCE. Traces of human settlement here can be found dating back to the 10th millennium BCE, when the glaciers melted at the end of the last ice age. How about that? It was the Goths who founded the city of Danzig in the middle of the 1st century BCE, and Gdańsk commemorated its 1,000th birthday in 1997. That gave them their first opportunity since all the political reversals in 1989, the Soviet Union imploding and all that. It gave them a chance to celebrate, and in memoriam, they placed a rust red cross on Hale Hill, which kind of overlooks the city. It's supposed to be a beautiful view. I haven't been up there yet, but that was to celebrate the city's heritage and Christian identity. So something like 71% of the population here identify as Roman Catholic, which sounds like a lot, but that percentage is actually down almost, well, it was 88% 10 years ago. So it's down quite a bit. From 88% to 71% are Roman Catholic. Also, much like Warsaw, 90% of Gdańsk was destroyed in World War II. And one of the side effects of all this destruction, what it did was made possible excavations so that we could get the kind of knowledge I'm sharing with you now. And people started to realize just how long Gdańsk had been around, had been inhabited. And sort of their crown jewel is called St. Mary's Church. It was constructed in 1343, which is around the same time the big Catholic church in Prague was constructed too, St. Vitus Cathedral. And both still stand. Let's talk about what's going on in the best movie ever. I'm not sure how you could be into movies and fictional things right now, because what is happening in America right now in real life is way better than anything somebody could make up. So let's recap. So we're finally seeing evidence of what was an attempt to overthrow the country. The latest declassified documents show that Hillary concocted a fake story that Trump was colluding with Russia. Evidently, it was all designed to distract from her email scandal. Remember that? And Clapper, Comey, Brennan, even Obama, they're all implicated. They wanted to demonize both Putin and Trump, and it worked. But it certainly made it easier to go to war with Putin, resulting in hundreds of thousands of casualties. What's crazy is the Biden crime family was pardoned. Isn't that so unreal looking back? Anthony Fauci was pardoned for crimes that he may have committed against the United States. Hadn't even been charged with anything, and he received a preemptive pardon. Anthony Fauci. All those involved with the Soviet-style show trials following J6, all those people were pardoned. Preemptive pardons. What a joke. Another interesting finding, and this came from the documents just released that were in a burn bag. Evidently, the bags didn't quite make it to the bonfire. They said what they intended to do was portray the Russia stuff as an attack on, quote, election infrastructure, which is what then enabled mass censorship. And we lived through a short time where we weren't allowed to criticize our government or question elections. You would have been an election denier, that sort of thing. Because it was all viewed as an attack on our election infrastructure, which they made up. It's now believed the raid of Mar-a-Lago was to ensure that Trump didn't have in his possession any incriminating evidence on the aforementioned deep staters or the FBI. A lot of whistleblowers are coming forward. You know what's pretty cool? It looks like Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, and all the rest of them, it kind of seems like they're going in order. So they're going back to 2016, and we'll probably get the rest of everything that's happened as time progresses here. Maybe it takes them 6 months to investigate the biggest scandals in American history. If so, next time, I imagine 6 months from now, maybe we'll get more info on the fake impeachments, and then maybe the Fine People hoax. And then hopefully, I mean, what I want to find out most is about what COVID was all about, how Biden got 81 million votes, and then maybe the last 6 months of the Trump presidency, we'll get what the Thomas Crooks thing was all about. As anyone who studied history knows, communism results in lots of deceit and lots of death. I heard Tucker Carlson was asked recently, what is the difference between what we traditionally call liberals and conservatives? And he said the best he could come up with is honest versus liars. And what's crazy is how many boomers have no idea what's happening, because the corporate media can't cover any of this because they're complicit, obviously. And many of those mentioned, some of the names I've mentioned, they've started to lawyer up and delete their old tweets. They don't allow comments on their tweets. And some of them, I think John Kerry, a few others, have made their accounts private. So if they were willing to stage a coup to overthrow a duly elected president and didn't succeed, would they also be willing to use a biological weapon to do so, to overthrow the president? Would you put it past him? What about a bullet in his head? Has that been shown throughout history and communist regimes to happen? It's time we start focusing less on teaching our youth about Nazism and teach them about communism, because people have no idea what the communist playbook is and how we see it played out before our eyes. And speaking of communism, there was a very popular climate change documentary on BBC about 10 years ago, won all sorts of awards. And they had a scientist who was one of the producers who was a dissenter. He must have been one of the 3%, right? Since 97% agree. He started calling out all the BS in the film, but he was told to go along with they had scripted lines for him, and they told him to go along with it because it was for the quote greater good. And that's when he realized, this is all communist propaganda. He said, they thought since I was in academia that I would just go along with the message. But according to him, he sees it for what it is now, about it was just a giant grift and it was all about control. And billions, if not trillions of dollars were allocated to new scams, green new scams that ultimately lined the pockets of Democrats or NGOs, one and the same. As you know, I always thought the climate change stuff might just be a massive redistribution of wealth, but I don't think we understood then the extent to which the Democrat Party was a criminal organization. I haven't been so anxious to see what comes out first, whether it's COVID or climate change stuff. I haven't eagerly awaited something so much since Vince Young and Reggie Bush came out of college. I couldn't wait to see who went first in the draft. And the answer was neither. The Texans picked Mario Williams, and then Reggie Bush went to the Saints, and old VY went to Tennessee. But the climate change thing, that had become a pseudo-religion. And it's now been demonstrated religious wars, they're not a thing of the past. No, they are happening in our time too, in a battle for resources. And you figure, I guess you wouldn't mind stealing from your fellow countrymen when you have contempt for them. It's not a coincidence those same people consider themselves citizens of the world and don't fly American flags. They're not patriotic. Those who adhere to a certain religion, not realizing the movement has all the hallmarks of a religion, they of course tried to silence and imprison the other team's leader and ultimately unalive him. You see it in religious wars throughout history. Some of the NPCs still think their leader's intentions were good, that they care about the little guy. Yeah, that's why Kamala has been doing so much charity work. And Pelosi's offered to give away $300 million of her $400 million net worth. I'm just kidding, obviously. I'll talk more about climate change down the road. Let's get into some sad news, and I'll tell you why it was sad for me. Ryan Sandberg died this week. And when I was a kid in the 80s, my brother's favorite player was Ryan Sandberg. In fact, my whole family we were all fans. We always had WGN on during the summer, and we were diehard Cub fans. And I can still hear Harry Carey and Steve Stone's voice from the kitchen as I made myself some pizza rolls in the oven. We would actually plan our vacation to Houston based on when the Astros were playing the Cubs in the Astrodome. My favorite Cubs were, well, my favorite was Mark Grace, favorite Cub of all time. whose biggest contribution to the game now is probably the Slump Buster, which I once wrote about. I'll try to link to the article in the show notes. It's more about my journey from being a Cubs fan to an Astros fan, but I do have a word in there on Slump Busters in that piece. No pun there. My next favorite player was Sean Dunstan. Do you remember the Shawanometer down the right field line? He always seemed to be hitting in the 280s. But I have very fond memories of watching the lovable losers. I liked watching the Hawk, Andre Dawson, step in the box, left foot forward. I don't think I've seen that stance since. Where'd all the cool stances go? Come on, Craig Council. Show today's Cubbies how to stand in the box. But the Hawk would step in with his Jerry curl and hit balls over the chain link fence and left. There's something else you don't see anymore is Jerry curls. Where'd those go? I remember when Wrigley Field had lights for the first time. It was August 8th of 88. You know, I used to be really good with dates or like what year a song came out. But I'm sure that'll become a thing of the past too, right? Because it'd take 2 seconds to Google when did Wrigley get lights, and then nobody's impressed that you know the date. You could have just Googled it. So this happened more than once where we go to Houston to see the Cubs, and they didn't get to see what they wanted because my brother, again, his favorite player was Ryne Sandberg, and they would go to the game, and I wouldn't get to go. They said I was too young, which upset me a lot. But I guess it was because they'd get home past my bedtime. I really don't know. But yeah, I would have been like 6, 7, 5 years old. But they owe me. Not that I keep tabs. But no, what happened was the Cubs would sit Sandberg for the game that they would go to. It happened more than once. They'd give him an off day. So that's karma, fam. Not really. I know one year in 1990... Remember Ryne Sandberg's errorless streak was broken at the Astrodome? He had 123 games without an error. That one's easy to remember, right? 1, 2, 3. And then he retired all of a sudden in 94. He said baseball just wasn't fun for him anymore. My little girl's first game was at Wrigley. She was 9 months old. We took her there before we took her to Minute Maid. She wore a little Cubs hat. And you know, the guy with the big camera, the one that puts things on the Jumbotron, he came and talked to us outside the stadium, said he was going to put my little one on the big screen. So between innings, I would video the Jumbotron, so I don't always have this video. I wanted to capture it forever. And dude sold us out. He never put her up there. There was one time I was at an Astros game, and Boss Man took our team to a Wednesday afternoon ball game, and we had a ball. It's so much fun. We'd go to the bus stop across the street. The bus stop is a bar. But at some point during the game, they put my mug up on the Jumbotron at Minute Maid. Well, formerly Minute Maid. What is it now? Daikin Field. It's gone from Enron to Minute Maid to Daikin, like a rapper. It can't decide what to call itself. Looking at you, Puffy, or Hove, or even my guy Wheezy F. None of them can decide what to call themselves. But when it was Enron, they called it 10-Run Field. Remember that? Because it was a little Cracker Jack box. And it was believed the stadium was built with a short left porch to accommodate all the right-handed hitters that the Astros had at the time. The Killer Bees, they called them. One of the reasons Sandberg wasn't my number one favorite player was because he was right-handed. And I never once had a favorite player who was right-handed. So I'm partial to lefties, not so much leftists. But also, my grandfather, Papa Fats, he would mock what he called the hitch in Sandberg's swing. So if you remember, when Sandberg would load, he would drop his hands, and that was his load or timing mechanism before he swung. And my Papa thought that it made him look timid and that he'd be much better if he didn't have this, what he called a hitch. So for the next damn near 20 years playing baseball, and my grandfather, a former baseball player himself, because he was so adamant about this need for stillness in the batter's box, especially as it pertains to your hands, that had me not loading at all, which in hindsight was a mistake. So for years, when I was hitting, I looked like Moises Alou. Remember how still he was at the plate? Although he might have been just so focused on not smelling his hands that he was immobilized. Alou famously didn't wear batting gloves. And so what he would do is pee on his hands because he thought that helped to toughen his hands and alleviate any calluses that he might get. I've told the story before about my college roommate drinking my urine, if you missed it. It was titled The End of Instagram. Fadu, baby. But here's another related story for you. I befriended a guy in Mexico. His name was Troy. And he runs a popular YouTube channel called The Health Nut. He's from California, Santa Monica, I believe. And he used to be a Versace model. He spent a lot of time in Milan, that sort of thing. And what I remember most about him is not that he looked my age, despite pushing 60, but it was his personality, because it was exactly what you'd expect. He was a caricature of himself. Chronic upward tilt of the nose, doesn't inquire anything about you. In fact, the only question I remember him asking me was, why do you use those? And I was like, what? And then he pointed, like he pinched his ear. He was asking why I was listening to AirPods. And I gave him a bit of a turd face, like, what kind of question is that, bro? And he said, they're going to give you cancer and kill you. Read the literature on it. So at some point, you know, I forgave him. And I asked him if he had one thing that he would recommend to maintain a youthful appearance besides eating clean, because he was the health nut. I said, what would it be? And he said a few things. And one was to know that, and this is a good one, to know that every hour of sleep you get before midnight counts as double. I think that's great advice. You do feel differently when you get a couple hours sleep before midnight in the morning when you wake up, right? Next thing he said was that he keeps his piss in a mason jar for 3 weeks and then drinks it. And, you know, I decided at that point, I'm going to let my AirPods kill me before I try to look that young. But speaking of not inquiring about me, he did have some good stories about his male modeling career. So I told him I wanted a copy of his book, and he said, sure, man, a signed copy is $37.50. Come on. I didn't have the heart to tell him, yeah, don't sign it. I'm not trying to make the most expensive book purchase of my life from some random dude I met on the beach in Cancun. So I did Venmo him $37.50 that I'll never get back. And when the book came in the mail, the inside cover said, Dear Stephen, nice to meet you. And then something else about himself. And so I pissed on it. Not really. No, I didn't. I read it. It was actually pretty good. It's a good read. The book is called Ripped at 50, if you're curious. My cousin, my number one cousin who lived in Baytown when I was a kid, his favorite player was Jose Cruz. And pretty cool, when I moved to Houston, I was playing in the fall league, and the opposing coach was Jose Cruz 1 year. You know, I'm kind of going back to the communist thing. The most unfortunate thing about humans is the unawareness, the gullibility, the NPCs who aren't good at discerning what's true or not true. And we've all been there. Yeah, I was a little naive when I was younger. I didn't realize how many people just don't care about the truth. Like, that's not one of their values. I always knew that communists put equality above truth, but to see it demonstrated for us is something different entirely. They're just not the truth-seeking type at all. They would sooner put things through an us-them filter. My team, your team, versus true-false. Which, of course, is what happens when you get so many of these crazy women and feminine men in power. I'm afraid Hillary may have set back women a long way, because I'm seeing a lot of newly red-pilled people on X saying that it was a mistake to allow women to vote. And that's sad to see. But their arguments stem from all the suicidal empathy that we've witnessed in the West, and all the lying about people, and the lack of reason and common sense, or lack of accountability, the discrimination of HR managers, how they bought into all of that. And we might start seeing straight men as HR directors pretty soon in the near future. Wouldn't that be a first? But DEI was just getting started, and it did not take long before it led to all sorts of discrimination, not to mention death and destruction. Have you noticed how many terrible things have taken place across America? And out walks some ugly, masculinized woman to give a press conference? If you don't think Karen Bass, the mayor of LA, is a communist, take a look in her past. It's unbelievable. And then more recently, we had the chief of police in Cincinnati, who's about as competent as the one in New Orleans. Remember following the Bourbon Street terror attack? What a time to be alive. Let's do some Gerwinder before we wrap. I don't have much time today. The first one is goal dilution effect. We assume that the more arguments we give, the better our case. In reality, our weakest arguments dilute the strongest. Generally, you'll only be as convincing as your worst point. So instead of making as many arguments as you can, make only the best. Yeah, this one reminds me of what Scott Adams calls the laundry list argument. If you have to list more than a couple of reasons for something, you probably don't have any solid reasons for believing what you believe. Another one is bias blind spot. Whenever I post about a bias or fallacy, this is Gerwinder talking, people reply to tell me how it explains their opponent's beliefs, but never their own. The assumption that bias is just something that affects those we disagree with is our greatest source of bias. Last episode, I talked about the reason I like to follow politics because of the human element of it. What we're watching is a masterclass, especially in the last decade or so. It's a masterclass in one's ability to project, where the true racists call everyone racist, or if you're getting help from overseas, you know, funding, or doing corruption in Ukraine, just say it's the other guy doing it. When you're in a cult, say the other guy is. If you're trying to end democracy, you get the idea. Here's another one, blue dot effect. The more we solve our problems, the more we widen the definition of problem so that our number of problems remains constant. So don't expect a life without problems. Progress doesn't mean reducing your quantity of problems, but increasing their quality. I like this one the most of the three I've just tallied off there. Yeah, I would say don't expect a life without problems. And don't wish life were easier. Wish you were better equipped to handle life's problems. We all have problems. And usually, unless you know the other person well, you'll never know what their problems truly are. A reason to be gracious, I guess. Unless they're trying to do you harm to serve themselves, which we've seen a lot of. But no grace for those who attempted a communist takeover, please. That's it for today. I know it's short. I appreciate you tuning in. I'll be back with a guest next week. Take care and God bless.